Thank you, Father. In the name of Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we're going to be reading and doing a teaching on a paper I did a while back called The Corinthian Church All Over Again. That's 1 Corinthians, and if the shoe fits, wear it. So many times we're going to see the same patterns go over and over and over historically. So we need to learn from those patterns to say that we're not in these same situations. But we'll begin by going to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such as these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into apostles of Christ. Now think of that power. And no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, here it is. You know, we've just been told that where is Satan? He's inside the church as a minister of righteousness. I mean, that's his battleground. And so if we're not aware that that's his battleground, then we are deceived. I mean, we've been warned. We go to Nehemiah 13. Chapter 13. Why I bring up Nehemiah? Well, from Moses' life, which is about 1450 B.C., to Nehemiah is 400 B.C. So we're talking about, you know, at least 1,000 years. 1,000 years of knowing the Mosaic law, of what we're supposed to do and not do. Here is 1,000 years later. Well, we've got ours is, you know, about the same thing, about 1,000 years later. And we go to verse 23. Moreover, in those days saw I the Jews who had married. Now, remember, we have the fall of the nation of Israel. That was about 150 years before the fall of the house of Judah. And then there was a 70-year gap before people going back. So we're talking about lessons upon lessons on what not to do. So like one person said, many people's lives can be an example of what not to do. Instead of what to do, here, don't do what he did and you can learn a lot. It wasn't a waste. Don't do what this guy did. So moreover, in those days, saw I the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, of Ammon, of Moab, all unbelievers, and their children who were good looking. Boy, they were good looking. They could cook. They had a lot of money, but they weren't Hebrews. They weren't Jews. And their children were one half speaking the language of Ashdod, and another said not how to speak the language of the Jews, but after the tongues of both people. So I contend with them and laid a curse upon them and smote them among them certain men and pulled out their hairs and I put them on oath by Elohim. Now, good pastor. You're not going to see that most in churches. You shall not give your daughters unto their sons nor take of their daughters for your sons nor for yourself. Was it not over these things that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Though among many nations there was no king such as he, and he was beloved by his Elohim. And so Elohim gave him to be king over all Israel. Even him did foreign women cause to sin. Unto you then shall we hearken to do all this great wickedness, to act unfaithfully with our Elohim by marrying foreign women. So what's happening in your church? What's happening in our church? We've got to be ever vigilant. And the only way we can be ever vigilant is by this book. And we're going to see that in Josiah and 2 Chronicles 34. Once you abandon the book,
we're on now. Second Chronicles, what?
34, verse 18. So Josiah, Moses was around 1450 BC. Josiah is about 530. So 900 years later, he's king. And guess what? They don't have the Torah. You know, the Torah are the five books of Moses. Well, how can you know how to run your kingdom if you don't have a rule book? And you're going to find it. In 18, then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, a book had Hilkiah the priest given to me. And Shaphan read therein before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. We're going to do that today in 1 Corinthians. We're going to hear what Yahweh says, and we're going to look at what churches are actually doing. Just like the first Corinthian church was reproved, the churches today in many areas are doing the exact same thing, and they're supposedly reading this book. 20. Then did the king command Hilkiah and Ahikam, son of Shaphan, and Abdon, son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, servant of the king's sake, go inquire of Yahweh for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah concerning the words of this book which has been found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh which has been poured out upon us because our fathers kept not the word of Yahweh to do according to all that is written in this book. Same story over and over and over again. Now we're going to go into 1 Corinthians. You know, they got a chewing out by Paul. And so we could say, okay, it's all written. Here's what to do and here's what not to do. And so we have to say, are we doing this or are we the Corinthian church again? And when you're in a church, you can just see this, you know. Are they obeying the word? Okay, where? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 12. But I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, that the same thing you be saying, and there be not among you divisions. Now here's the subject, divisions. But that ye be fitly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it is signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them who are of the household of Chloe, that there are strifes among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am indeed of Paul, but I am of Apollos, but I am of Cephas, but I am of Christ. Well, does that sound familiar today?
Yep.
Have you ever heard of the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church, how many denominations we have? That's exactly what's going on here. And it says the whole purpose not to do this is division. All right? The Catholic Church, you know, so you've got this situation where same thing is happening here. And we go to 3 verse 4. For as soon as one began to say, I am a Paul, or I am Apollos, are you not men? You're just missing everything. You know, we've got the same book. Now, if you obey what's in the book, there's no controversy here. Once in a while, there might be a little disagreement here and there, but there's just no controversy. And when you don't go by the book, that shows you you're not a sect. You know, you're of Luther, or you're of this or that. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 4. I beseech you therefore, become imitators of me. Oh, that's very important because he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, he doesn't mean that, because the majority of all churches are not going to speak in tongues. Be imitators of me, for this cause sent I unto you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in mind of your ways, which is in Christ, even as everywhere in every assembly I teach. He's saying, don't be Apollos, Cephas. But there's Baptists, and there's you know, Presbyterians and there's Catholics. We're not imitators of Paul. Chapter 5, verse 1, watch this. On all hands there is reported among you fornication. Now, such fornication as this, which not among the nations is found, as that one should have his father's wife. Now, this was not much of a problem, but in this new age, it's a problem. Like, as right now, it is love the sinner, hate the sin, and so sodomy, which is homosexuality, which is transgender, whatever you want, how you want to doctor it up, is sodomy is what it comes down to, or drunkards, or potheads, or you know, which is going to go on here, are allowed to be part of the congregation. And one of these is very simply is the Democrat Party. If you're a Democrat, then you agree with sodomy. You're voting for sodomy. You're voting for abortion. You're voting for these things. That's, you can't be a Democrat and a Christian. But are the pastors telling people that? No. And so they are disobeying this. And so if we go down to verse 11 and 13, but now I have written unto you not to be mixing yourself up. Is that an option? Is that an opinion? No. Do not be mixing yourself up. If anyone named a brother, hey, Joe Biden is supposed to be a brother because he's a Catholic. Pelosi, supposed to be a sister, she's a Catholic. Do they vote for abortion? Do they vote for sodomy? Do they go to church and get communion? Yes, they do. The Catholic Church endorses, by doing such, they endorse sodomy, abortion, everything that they supposedly speak against. Be a fornicator or a covetous or idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or extortioner with such as one as this let in your church. No. With such as one as this, not so much as to be eating together. Now think of that. For what have I to do judging them who are without? Do you not judge them who are within? Whereas them who are within, without, Yahweh judges. Remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. Does a church do that? No. I mean, we do. And if you have a family member who is an alcoholic or a drunkard or a fornicator, guess what? Nothing. It could be your father, your mother, your brothers or sisters or cousins. No. Go by the book. First Corinthians 6, 1 through 6. Dare any of you having a matter against his brother sue for judgment before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Okay, we're talking about court now. Judgments. So who's supposed to be doing the judgments?
The church.
The church. Who's supposed to be doing divorce? The church. Right here. Does the church do divorce? No. Not that anyone's I know of. They'll do a marriage, but they do not do divorce. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And if by you the world is to be judged, unworthy are you of the smallest judgment seat? Know ye not that we shall judge messengers, and not them matters of this, and not them matters of this life? If then for matters of this life you have judgment seats, them who are of no account in the assembly, these are you sitting upon? You know, do you get the people who are not smart, don't know the word, to be the judges? Absolutely not. With a view to shame you, am I speaking? So it is possible there is among you not so much as one wise man who shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother with brother sueth for righteous for judgment, and that before unbelievers. Okay. If the shoe fits, wear it. So we're going to talk about that. Now we're going to go to 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereunto you wrote, it were good for a man not to touch a woman, but on account of fornications, let each man have his own wife, and each woman have her own husband. Good. Unto the wife, let the husband render what is her due. That's a commandment. And in like manner, the wife also under the husband. That's a commandment. The wife over her own body hath not authority. Well, okay, that's, I don't think I like that. But the husband, okay, here's what you're agreeing to. The marriage covenant is the wife's body is going to be mine, and my body is going to be the wife's. Are you going to agree to that? No, then don't get married. And this is how Yahweh set it up. And in like manner, the husband also over his own body hath not authority but the wife. Be not depriving one another, unless perhaps by consent for a season, that you may have leisure for prayer and again maybe come together, lest Satan be tempting you by reason of your want of self-control. You know, as part of the marriage covenant is people should be agreeing to this. And if it ever gets to a point where one of the parties, and Martin Luther brings this up, if it comes to the point where one of the parties say, I'm not going to do this anymore, that person cannot have my body, Martin Luther points out, well, that's the purpose of marriage. Then you can divorce, which means you cut. Divorce means to cut. Of course. I mean, that was the purpose. That's the covenant. And when you decide not to do that, that's fine. And it says for you to go, the person can leave, don't remarry. And that's in 1 Corinthians 7. That's fine. The other person is innocent, which they should absolutely be able to remarry. All right. 1 Corinthians 6 or 7, very simple. Now we get into 8, 9, 10, 11. Those really don't pertain to us. So everything's fine there. We'll go to 12 now. 12, verse 1. But concerning the spiritual, brethren, I am not writing to be ignorant. You know that when you were of the nations, unto the dumb idols, however, you were being led, you were seduced. Wherefore I give unto you to know that no man in Yahweh's spirit speaking saith to curse Yahushua. And no one can say Yahushua is the Lord Yahushua, save in the Holy Ruach. But distribution of gifts there are, yet the same Ruach. And distribution of ministries there are, and the same Don. And distribution of energies there are, and the same Yahweh, who energizes all things in all. So we're looking at this. And we know that 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 are a unit. So 1 Corinthians 13 is a sandwich between 12 and 14. And actually, it's a parenthetical phrase. And why we're bringing up this is, this is about speaking in tongues, tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. Is that apparent in your church? If that's not apparent in your church, you've just torn out these books. Yeah, you are the Corinthian church. And why do we know chapter, everybody goes to chapter 13, love, love, love. Well, wait a minute here. It's a parenthesis, a parenthetical phrase, which means, watch this, the end of 12:31 says what? Be envious, however, of the greater gifts. And 14:1 says this, pursue love, nevertheless be envious of the spiritual. Same subject, right? Okay, so we have spiritual, spiritual, and then we have something in the middle called love, which is how it should be done. That's when you depart from a subject, it's called a parenthesis, a parenthetical phrase. It's inserted where you're breaking off from what I'm talking about for a period of time, and then I'm going to keep talking about what I was talking about. So you see, the end of 12 is be envious. 14 is be envious. Okay, continuation of chapter 12. And we know 5 says, howbeit I wish you all to speak with tongues. Is that an option? I mean, look at this. But rather that you may be prophesying, more or greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongue, unless indeed he translate, that the assembly may receive upbuilding. Do you want your church to be upbuilded? Well, Yahweh had the Ruach HaKodesh poured out exactly for that purpose. And I would say probably 95% of all churches have nothing to do with that. So they have torn out chapter 12 and they've torn out chapter 14. Where else have they torn out? In chapter 15. Oh, 39, 14, 39, summation is, so then my brother, be zealous to prophesy. Is that an option? You know, let's just think, is that an option? Be zealous to prophesy and do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. And so, but then the person's going to say, well, it went out with the apostles. It went out with, isn't that interesting? What other chapter and book went out with the apostles? They're just going to take this and you don't. So what you're saying is, I don't want to be built up. I don't want to build up the church. Wow. That is strange. Or is that a teaching of Satan? Remember, he appears as a minister of righteousness. So from Joel, you know, the prophesying of the outpouring of Ruach HaKodesh to when it actually happened in the book of Acts, maybe 500 years. We waited for it, and then what it does, Satan has extinguished it in the church, except for Pentecostal churches. But even then, they speak in tongues and they don't interpret. You don't speak it, as you know, 14. You don't speak in tongues in the church. You've got a whole chapter on that, unless you're going to interpret. Otherwise, keep it to yourself because it doesn't benefit anybody. And then prophesy. Above all, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. So, let me see, we got that. Now we go to verse 22, chapter 15. Well, wait a minute. 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I make known unto you the what message?
Joyful.
The joyful. What is a joyful message? Resurrection from the dead. That is the, from among the dead. The joyful message is the resurrection from among the dead. Well, oh, no, no, no. The church says, no, 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 no. We're just going to come to you, Jesus, by dying. And so, and who, is that a doctrine of Satan? Absolutely. Now think of that, because if that's teaching, which you've seen, every abortion puts babies into heaven, which bypasses earth, which would be a good thing, right? And so we should pay abortionists to put babies into heaven. Well, that's what the church teaches. That's what the church... Now, think of that. Is that a demonic doctrine? Are you insane? But that is it. That's a doctrine of demon. And we go to verse 20 to 22. But now hath Christ been... awaken, egairo. We've done this before. Every time you see the word raised, generally it's going to be a Greek word egairo, which means to be awakened from sleep. But now I have Christ been awoken from among the dead, a first fruit of them who have fallen asleep. Well, I thought everybody else was in heaven. For indeed, through a man came death, through a man also came the raising, or the awakening, or the raising of the dead. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Let's go to 54 to 57, summation. But whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up victoriously. Well, the church has death as being a portal to heaven. So death is not death. You know, Gloria Copeland will say, you're just changing addresses. You can't die. And the church teaches that. You have a soul, so the soul can't die. Or the spirit can't die, so it's eternal. And just came up with these things, and you have to say, what word are you saying, soul? That's not nefesh. You know, which is, you know, the only word you can translate soul, which is Genesis 1:20. Animals are nefesh, and there's living souls and there's dead souls. So it has nothing to do with that word. And it's not ruach. Ruach means breath. You know, so you say you're a breath, or you're a living soul. All animals are living souls, and so the whole. And where did this come from? Doctrines of demons. Our adversary has been there, just like he has always been through the history of Moses and everybody else. There had to be a good teaching why you could marry a person who was not a Jew, and they did it. Priest did it. These same people, you have to say, you know, Satan is in the church. Who crucified Yahushua? The church. And not only that, the head of the church. That would be like the Pope, because these are the high priests who had Christ put to death. So, you know, just wake up. The book is there to, for that purpose. The 54, let me start over. For whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up victoriously. Oh, where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but unto Yahweh be thanks, who is giving us, unto us, the victory through our Lord Mashiach Yahushua. Okay. And so, 1 Corinthians church all over again. The errors, division, you know, Baptists, Catholics, etc. That's chapter 1 through 4. Sexual witness is not rejected. You can say, well, nobody ever tells me that. Well, just ask if they're a Democrat. Real simple. You don't have to ask if they're a sodomite. But if you know a person is committing adultery, well, you can't come to this church. You know, that's it. If his wife says he's an adulterer, well, he's removed. I mean, it's not an option. Remove this wicked man from among you. Well. And so you become your own God, your own commandments. Do you really want to do that? Because when we meet Christ, they're going to have this talk. Now, you can change it now, or you can go ahead and have the talk. All right? And then in no courts in the church, have that talk. That's chapter 6. Now, do you take care of divorces and disputes in your church with wise men? You're commanded to do that. The marriage covenant, very simple, not for, you know, for better or for worse, till death do us part. Are you explaining to people about sexual relations, what you're responsible to do, on and on and on? Now, are you telling people, hey, if you have a brother-in-law who is an alcoholic, all right, you give him the word, you get him delivered. If he doesn't do it, you can't eat with him. Well, that's my father. You can't eat with him. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to obey Yahweh? And that's, you know, we have family members who are going to say, no, we're not going to obey Yahweh in that area. So you have to just say it. No, I'm not going to do it. It's 12 through 14 is manifesting Ruach, speaking in tongues, tongues of interpretation, prophecy, etc. is not done in the majority of all churches. And if it's done many times, it's just speaking in tongues, you know, without interpreting, which is exactly what you're not supposed to do. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 says. 14 says, don't do that. We have a whole chapter on that. And the resurrection from among the dead, where is everybody? They're asleep. It's always been that way. They're asleep, and that's why the resurrection is paramount. If everybody was already in heaven, then why did Christ die? Who cares? Moses, Elijah, everybody's in heaven already. Well, then what's the purpose? And if he can't die, people can't die, then Yahushua didn't die, only his body died. Because when his body died, he left the body and went to heaven. What's the big deal? About the resurrection? Who cares about the resurrection? Because everybody's already in heaven. And do they have bodies? Well, of course. All right, so what you've done is just, you know, this concoction that you have missed to say, are you insane? You're going to go along with that? That aborted babies are in heaven? You know, people, you know, killed in car accidents or murdered by somebody are in heaven? And you're going to tell people that? No, it's the resurrection is our hope. And then obviously we didn't go on in 1 Corinthians, but it's the new earth. And so we're all going to come before the judgment seat of Christ and be placed on the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We have to deal with this anymore. So we're in there.
It's a parallel from where the adversary tempted Eve.
Well, yeah,
thou shalt not surely die.
Yeah.
To,
and that's taught today. Yeah. Yahweh, and that's in Genesis 2. Ye of the tree, you shall surely die. Or actually, it should be translated, dying, you will die. And that's Young's the Desert Rite. The word die is used twice. And then Satan says, dying, you do not die. To Eve. That's what the church states today. And so, you know, Satan, that is 2 Corinthians 11. He's a minister. He appears to be a minister of righteousness. And he just did it. And he's done it today. So if you believe that, that's a demonic teaching. It has nothing to do with this book. So we thank you, Father, for these words of prophecy. Speak my word and let it resound from your lips. Let us talk, go out with authority and with conviction that there's a foundation that you can build your life upon, not on the sand or on the seas, but on a solid rock. So speak my word and dwell in my word. Let that word permeate in your hearts, and you shall be set free, and you shall be able to fight the darkness that's in this world, and you shall abound in peace and truth and show that light where other people too can come alongside you. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.